All right, well, let's go ahead and stand up to reading God's Word. We're going to be in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for the Psalms of David. So many of these Psalms, Lord, can speak to us today very clearly. Father, we thank you for a man of God, a man after your own heart, Lord. A man that definitely served you all the days of his life, and though he had his times where he fell so many times, and yet, Lord, you lifted him up. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you that it's infallible and inerrant and God-breathed. We thank you that you've written us a book that we can read and see the providence of God, to see the omniscience of God, the power of God. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us today as we break forth your Word. We pray that you give us ears to hear, but only what you have to say. Give us eyes to see, and let us behold the truth, Lord. And Lord, you have to work that in us. And Father, we ask you to give us a heart to perceive the truth of these verses. And Father, we ask you now to bless the few that are here, this little flock. And we just ask you, Lord, to speak to us, Lord, to change our lives forever, that we will truly know that one day that Christ will be formed in us. So, Father, we commit this time into your hand. We do love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we come into this psalm, a very interesting psalm, many of us have probably read through this psalm quite often. It's very hard to get out of the psalms that when you enter into the psalms, you realize that so many of these psalms are written for us to be comforted in our hearts. I mean, and we realize that God is definitely a God of all comfort. We find that in the scripture. And we know that many times our heart is full of fear and anxiety and worry because we don't know what lies ahead of us. We don't know the obstacles that will come before us. We don't know the roadblocks that will hit us. We don't know the walls that will stand up in front of us. And yet we know that God delivers us. He gives us that. He's redeemed us. He has bought us. He has purchased us. And yet as we look here, we realize that fear is one of those things that has a way of controlling people. I mean, we look around today, we read the headlines, we see people full of anxiety and fear. We see different things that are happening in so many different churches, so many different lives. We see sickness, we see illness, we see riots, we see protests, we see all these things, and yet we know that God has a purpose for them. And we know that God has never called us to be fearful. God has always called us to be vigilant. God has called us to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so when we read the Psalms, I do believe that it brings a great peace into our heart, a great comfort into our heart. And as we look at these Psalms, even this one here in Psalm 27, we realize that God never wants our heart to fear. He wants us to wholly rest in Him because Christ is dear to us, because He is our all in all. He is our strength. And He is the purpose for our life. We go about and we live our life, and God has called us, and God has saved us, and God has done a holy work. He has given us the Holy Spirit, and we are a walking tabernacle because God is in us, through us, and upon us, and He's done that holy work. I mean, what a blessing it is to be saved and to know it, and to have the Holy Spirit to bear witness with us that we are the children of God, that our confidence doesn't rest in a man, it rests in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you and I, as we combat fear in everyday life, worry, anxiety, and all the things that seem to be plaguing as we keep speaking of, but I realize that the fear seems to be coming more and more so in so many different lives. And we realize the devil's working overtime because he knows his day is short. We realize that the rapture trumpet truly may blow at any moment, and if we are ready to God be the glory, but it should break our hearts to know those we love that are still dead in their sins and have never been resurrected from themselves, and truly we pray for the salvation of their souls and the salvation of our own community and of our own families and friends and people that we love, that we know if they died today that they would be thrust into hellfire and damnation. And I still say that we must bring a tear to our heart to realize how final death truly is. And so when we look at this psalm, I want you to come through it with me and just think about it in your own practical application. When we think about your life, if we went ahead and said, okay, tell us all the fears and the worries and the concerns that you have in your life, and many of us would have all kinds of things we'd have to say to that if we were transparent one with another, if we were real, if we really did open up our hearts to each other. But yet as we look here, the psalmist does exactly this. He opens his heart to us so we can see in the depths of his ruins. And even as we look here, the first thing that he addresses is the Lord. So when you come into that verse, he says there in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't know about you, but when I think about the Lord being the light, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. But you and I are also the reflected glory of Christ. I mean, we're the lights, we're the small lights per se, but we are the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the reflected glory of Christ. I mean, we look at a world that's all kinds of in chaos and all kinds of things that are happening. We look at all the political fronts and all the things that are going on, and everybody's worrying about who will be the president. Well, the truth of it is, God knows who will be the president. That would be exactly the one God has placed there. Although I do believe as a child of God, we are called to vote. And I do believe it's okay for us to go and vote, just like our Constitution says, and as the Word of God has given us, that we give unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's. And we have that opportunity to go and vote, and I believe we should. But we also must understand, whatever the result may be, was truly the hand of God and not of us. But as we look here, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you go and talk to people about the Lord, it's very interesting some of the conversations you can come into. I mean, I've had all kinds of conversation in the months here and where I'm working and all the different people that I've been able to talk to about the things of the Lord and the different ways God was able to bring these things to be. And the truth of it is, as a child of God, we must understand the Lord is our light and our salvation. I mean, where would we be apart from Him? And we know that the Bible says very clearly that I can do all things through Him, but I can do nothing without Him. And Jesus made that very clear. But I mean, when you think about confidence, the confidence that we have in Christ, the power of the gospel, the transformation of the heart, where you and I have been given a new heart, where you and I have absolute complete confidence in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that He is our light, we know that He is our salvation, and we know whatever may come will come by His hand, and there will be a purpose for it, and we glorify God in every situation. And so when we look at a verse like this, none of us would say, well, you know what? I don't know if He really is the light in my salvation. Well, every true child of God realizes that Christ is the light of the world. We realize that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We realize that people around us are very fearful and many things are happening. Many lives have been taken, even in the last couple of weeks. I mean, even us, we have known people that have died very instantly. But yet as we look here, we realize there's a purpose for all these things. And you and I, as children of God, we are the comfort of the world, in one sense of the word, because we know the Savior, we know the Christ, and we have the comfort within ourselves. And if we have the comfort within ourselves, what do we need to do? Then we need to share it with others. And why do we need to share it with others? Well, because the whole world wants to be comforted, but yet we know the Prince of Peace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come with that confidence, we realize that I know the Savior. I know the one that can definitely deliver you from all the distress and all the pain and sorrow in your heart. I know Him personally, intimately. Matter of fact, He did a new work in my life one day, gave me a new heart, and I was a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And as I grow in that intimacy with my Lord and Savior, I am one that is one of a calm presence. In whatever situation I may find myself, I know that my strength rests in the Lord. It doesn't rest in me or my self-perseverance. My rest is in Him, the one that preserves me each and every day of my life. But interesting, when he says here, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I mean, we look around and men try to drive fear into our heart. We have many people that are part of these riots that are trying to drive fear into people. They want to use that fear to control people. Well, my Bible says very clearly that perfect love casts out all fear. And when we look at the Word of God and we realize here, whom shall I fear? The psalmist is saying, who do I need to fear except God and God alone? And when God, and when you and I fear God, what does it do? It keeps us from sin. I mean, we always say, oh, I want a new relationship with God. Well, where's your relationship with sin? Do you love those things that God loves and hate those things that God hates? And are we obedient to the Word of God? Because the psalmist here, you've got to remember, David was definitely the psalmist. We see many of his psalms here as we can read through the Scripture. But we have to realize that he wasn't a perfect man. He definitely failed many times in his life. But I'll tell you one thing about David. In the end of his life, he finished very strong. Because his confidence was never in himself. It was in the person of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says here, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. I mean, look what he says here. My light, my salvation, and my strength of my life. It means my all in all is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you talk to people, you know, people come up and they say, oh, you ain't going to believe what happened to me. Somebody died, somebody's sick, somebody had a bad accident, whatever it may be. Well, our confidence is never in the arm of the flesh. It's in the God that made the arm of the flesh. Amen? I mean, our confidence is in Christ. And you and I that are filled with the Spirit, you and I that are walking in holiness, you and I that are striving with all our heart to live the life that God has called us to live, we are the comfort that the world needs because we know the Savior, the Prince of Peace, will deliver them from their weakness, from their sickness, whatever it may be, whether God heals them, to God be the glory. If God chooses not to heal them, to God be the glory. God has that purpose. God has a reason for all things. And even as we look at ourselves today, when we think to ourselves, who are we afraid of in this life? Why are we ashamed of the gospel? I mean, why are we afraid to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, if He really is your light, your salvation, your strength of your life, then who shall I be afraid of? I mean, we look around, we have many people that have a way of controlling us through fear. But yet fear is definitely a controller, but fear is not of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. And He's talking about the bride of Christ. Why? Because He has birthed us into the kingdom of God. He's given us a place in heaven, and we have an inheritance that will never rot away. And one day we're going to come into that inheritance. And the Bible says there in John 14 that Jesus went to what? Prepare a place for who? For us, His bride. And praise God for that, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we look here, we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? I mean, we look around, we say, oh, the devil's big and he's bad and he's doing all these terrible things and inciting all these people. Yeah, but the devil is a defeated foe. And remember, it's God's devil and God can use the devil any way He chooses to use the devil. And the devil can do nothing to us except to go to our Father and petition Him if he may or may not. And God the Father is definitely a Father that loves His children, amen. And He always protects us and He always shelters us, even in the time of the storm. And we know that He's the anchor of our soul and He's our complete and total confidence. So what can the devil do? Whatever he does, he has to ask our Father to do whatever it may be. The devil is definitely a controlled devil because he's God's devil and God uses the devil. And as we see the day approaching, we realize that the devil is becoming very, very prevalent. He doesn't even hide today in all the things that he's doing. He's doing it very openly and blatantly. You can see it in the news or the media or the internet or whatever means that you use. You see that the devil's not shying away anymore because he knows his time is really short. He knows that Trump is about ready to blow. And I think we have to be ready for that. I think we need to prepare ourselves. We don't need to put a time on. Maybe God will tarry another 100 years. We don't know. It doesn't matter. The Bible makes it very clear. A day of death has been ordained. When the day will come, we won't miss it. To God be the glory. But when I look at the psalmist here, you've got to remember, many people rose up against David in his lifetime. Many people came against him. He had some really hard times that he had to go through. I mean, we can go through and follow his life and realize, my goodness, why would God bring such a man of God, one of his own heart, as the Bible says, and yet bring him through so many trying and terrible things? Well, there's a purpose for it, because God has a reason. That's how He conforms us to Himself, amen? Because He puts us and says, look, the Bible says here, the just shall live by faith. I mean, if we're going to live by faith, we're going to be tested. I mean, we can say we have faith, but you know, you don't know what kind of faith you have until you're being tested in that faith. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe He's going to do this? Well, yes, I do. And why do you believe it? Because God said He will never leave me nor forsake me. God said He's filled me with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The Bible says that I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not kept by myself. To God be the glory. And so David here, he understood that. Because he says there, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes. Now, I want you to know, many of us understand this language here. Our enemies and our foes. We look around today, we see so many enemies, it seems, and so many foes. But cannot God deliver us from our enemies and our foes? Do we have to be worried about our enemies and our foes? Or are they just characters in our life that God is going to use to help conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think that's exactly what you find here. Because he says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because they came up to rise against us, and yet our confidence is in the Lord. And what did God do? He broke their foot before your face. And he broke away your enemies and your foes, because you are one that has a complete, strong confidence in the Lord. You don't have a confidence in yourself. One of the ways the devil will always tempt you is for you to be confident in yourself. He will try to get your confidence to be in yourself and all your achievements that you have in this life. He will want your focus to go upon you and not upon Christ. And to the child of God, our focus must be always completely upon Christ. Remember that verse there in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I mean, that's what the child of God must do. Lord, there's no situation that comes into my life where I feel as if I am sufficient to deal with it. Lord, even the little details of my life, I must absolutely surrender to you, line up under your lordship and say, Lord, I need your help and wisdom to get me through even the most simplest situation in my life, because my confidence can never rest in myself. It must rest in you. And so when the fear comes upon me, which fear comes upon all of us, there's none of us that are exempt from fear coming upon us, but yet our confidence realizes, listen to me, I'm not resting in my own righteousness, I'm resting in the imputed righteousness of Christ. I'm not resting in my own merit, I'm resting in the merit of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am confident in him, I'm not confident in me. He must increase, I must decrease. We know that's in the scripture, and we say, to God be the glory. And so when you look here, the devil comes upon you and he says, look here, I'm going to beat you down. I'm one of your enemies, I'm one of your foes. But God has already defeated the devil, he's handed him the death blow. His fate is set. Matter of fact, it's a fixed state, is what the theologians would say, and it is a fixed state. But the devil is very active and real, and many of the foes and enemies that we have, where they rise up against us, and they slander us, and they speak evil against us, we're not surprised by that at all. I mean, if they're not a child of God, they're a child of the devil. And what is the devil? He's a slanderer. Isn't that what the Bible says? Absolutely. So we have these people that rise up against us. We shouldn't be surprised. We should say, to God be the glory. My confidence does not rest in me. It rests in God and God alone, because that's what the Bible says. And even when these foes come up to eat my flesh and to try to destroy me or take me down, what's the Bible say? They stumble and fell. Why? Because God put a stumbling stone before them and crushed them at the seams, because you will not touch one of my anointed. You will not touch one of them that are my children. And they are wholly confident in me, and I will definitely deliver them, because I am their deliverer, and none shall be to fall before them. And truly, as you look here, look what he says. He says, though a host shall encamp against me. And look at the word fear. If you're one of those that mark in your Bibles, you should be circling that word fear, because it's all over this chapter here. But when you look here, he says very clearly, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I mean, I look at children of God, and they're so fearful and so timid in their heart. Why do we need to be fearful? Why do we need to be timid? Yes, I know we have a weakness in the flesh. I understand that. I know there are things that get a hold of us and grip us very quickly, and we don't even have time to respond, and we're already full of fear. But really, when you think about fear, fear is doubting that God is in control. Amen? Because you and I realize that God is in control of every aspect of our life. We realize there's not even a sickness that will come upon us except by the hand of God. We realize that not even an accident will happen to us except by the hand of God. God has a purpose for all things. And God works even evil for good. We know that. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called out according to his purpose. And so when we look here, he says, as the psalmist, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. Why is there confidence in war? Why? Because God has already delivered them. God has already set them free. God has said, listen to me, these things may come upon you, but there's a purpose for them. I'm using them to conform you to me. I want you to be wholly, completely dependent upon me. I don't want you to ever be dependent upon yourself. See, as a child of God, sometimes we have a lot of dependence upon us, about this and that, and our strength and our power, and what we can do and what we cannot do. But none of us like to come out of our comfort zone, but yet the only way God ever grows us spiritually is when he pulls us from our comfort zone and puts us in a place, a very uncomfortable situation, where our confidence can no longer be in ourselves, it has to be in a sovereign God. And when we think about it being in a sovereign God, what are we talking about? Even if they come against me, whatever it may be, my confidence does not rest in me. I mean, child of God, you have every opportunity in the world. You have people all around you that are hurting. I mean, I talk to people in my job now all the time, and they're older men, some of them, and I love the conversation that I have with them, because all of a sudden you get to the root of these things and you realize, listen to me, your confidence is in the doctor. Your confidence is in the arm of the flesh. Your body's going to break down. Your body's going to fall apart. Your body's going to die. And then where will you be? Well, I want you to know the Bible says that your soul's going to live forever somewhere. I want you to know that death isn't just the end of it. Death is the beginning of something to the Christian. Praise God. To the un-Christian, he's going to hell, because that's what the Bible says. And I think we need to really get a hold of that and realize that if that person dies without Christ, they're thrust into hell, and God did it, and God did it for his glory. Do you understand that? So, I mean, these things should really bother us as a child of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want no one to go to hell. I mean, I want to be like Spurgeon. I want them to climb over my dead body to throw themselves into hell. Because that's exactly the passion that the church needs today. Because the confidence is never in themselves. When you look at the psalmist here, he makes it very clear. He goes, will I be confident? I mean, we are confident that God will deliver us. You know, a lot of times when things come into our life, immediately we say, why, God? And there's not one of us that hasn't done it. Why, God? All of a sudden you get the phone call, so-and-so just died, and you say, why, God? Or this tragedy or accident or a thousand other things could have happened. We say, why, God? God, I know there's a purpose for this, and I want to glorify you in it. Lord, I know you've told me that the just shall live by faith, and I need your help to walk by faith. I need the Spirit of God to fill me and anoint me and help me to be strong. To be strong for them that I love, and to be strong in you, Lord, because I love you above all things, because perfect love casts out all fear. And then the love that the psalmist has for the Savior means that this psalmist has an intimacy with God that goes far beyond the average Christian. This is an intimacy of reading the Word of God and meditating upon it. It's about putting your faith to action. It's about being faithful and being who you say you are and being real, not full of hypocrisy. Because I tell you what, when the tragedy hits your life, hypocrisy is utterly going to be brought out, because you're going to realize that you are nothing more than a hypocrite. And we know that the word hypocrite is an actor. I mean, there are many of us, we all play the role of a hypocrite. I mean, nobody here can say, well, I've never been a hypocrite. We've all been hypocrites. There's no doubt about it. It's about walking around with a mask on our face. Let us strip the mask and say, yes, I'm a weak vessel. I am beaten down. I'm falling apart. I'm crumbling at the seams. But my God is greater than all my problems. I know this, and I need him to tell me and give me that confidence. And the only way you're going to get that confidence is by going to the book. And so when you look here, look what he says here very clearly. He goes, one thing I have desired, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Look at the word one. Very interesting, coming off our first three verses here. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I mean, is that one of your desires, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? The Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit has sealed me until the day of redemption. The Bible makes it very clear that the Holy of Holies, that the Holy Spirit himself is within every truly born-again believer. Amen? I mean, we are a walking tabernacle in the truest sense. And the Holy Spirit is there to empower us, enable us to live the Christian life. And so you and I have that absolute total confidence. I mean, our heart's desire is to be with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, the one thing you desire more than anything is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the earnestness, that's the groaning within us that the Bible talks about there in Romans chapter 8. I mean, I don't know about you, but death is nothing more but a one entrance right into the glory of God. Amen? I mean, to the child of God, there's nothing more blessed than to be with the Savior whom you've loved all your life. Kind of like, you know, when you think about Polycarp, 86 years I've served this Lord, and today as I'm burned at the stake, I will not renounce him and I will not turn from him, for I know that he's real. And how did that happen? God prepared Polycarp exactly for that burning, right? And you know what? He said, you don't have to take that nail and nail my hands into the stake. Just wrap it in rope. I promise you I won't leave, because I have come for this day to glorify my Savior even by blood and death. And that's exactly what he did. So when you look here, what do we see? One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I mean, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life means that your confidence is never in the arm of the flesh. It isn't that we are codependent. If you must be a codependent, be codependent upon Christ. Don't be codependent upon any human being, for goodness sakes. Your confidence must be in Christ. You must be completely dependent upon him, and that is where your confidence rests, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the psalmist says here, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. very interesting word when we think about the beauty of the Lord. I mean, to a child of God, we say, I have such a great confidence in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that He's very real to me. I know that He has forgiven me of all my sins. I know that His life and righteousness has been imputed unto me. And I know, according to God the Father, that because I am in Christ, I am a holy saint of the Most High God, bought by the blood of the Son of God that shed His blood for me at Calvary and rose again the third day for my justification and has declared me righteous and truly justified, because you know the word justified and righteous go hand in hand, right, in the English. But when we look here, we realize that God has declared us justice. He has imputed that righteousness, and we stand wholly confident before God the Father based upon Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent to save them that would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because God, from the foundation of the world, has sent His only begotten Son to be our Lord and Savior, and God, Jesus Christ, died for us, paid that debt in full, and washed our sins away, forever forgiven. No matter what sin I commit, from the day I was born again to the day I die, it has been paid for, and that blood has been shed for me, and I can stand before a holy God based upon the merit of Christ. I can stand before God the Father based upon the merit of Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent to be my Lord and Savior. And so you and I, when we look at the psalmist here, we say, to God be the glory. This is the beauty of the Lord. I mean, I cannot believe that God would even save such a wretch as me. I can't believe that He would send His only begotten Son to die on a cross, a Roman cross for me. I can't believe that God the Father would crush His only begotten Son upon that cross Himself for Him to pay a debt for them that the Father hath given to the Son. Amen? That's what your Bibles say. So all that come to the Son are them that the Father hath given to the Son, and He will lose none. And He will in no wise cast out no one. Why? Because that's the eternal security of the believer. Not because he has believed, but because God has done a work. And when God does a work, He does a complete work. Matter of fact, what you refer to as a saving work. And so when I look at His Word here, I said, the beauty of the Lord, I mean, my goodness, have you ever talked to somebody and said, you know, I'd like to talk to you about the gospel sometime. Oh, the gospel, oh, I've heard people talk about that before. Well, let me talk to you about the beauty of the Lord. I mean, just think of the wording here. I think it's very interesting. He said, let me talk to you about the beauty of the Lord. And look what he says here, and to inquire in His temple. I mean, as a child of God, we have the answers. Because why do we have the answers? Because we read the Word of God. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Listen to me. You tell me you're a Christian, you don't read your Bible all week long. I'll tell you what, I think your Christianity is a bunch of folly. I think we need to really take it to heart. Because I think when I read the Word of God day by day, when I listen to the Word of God, whatever it may be, whatever the means may be, but I know one thing, God's Word is very precious to me, and I know whatever the obstacles may be, I know this is the answer. I know that if I'm called out because of a situation, a sickness, an illness, a death, or whatever it may be, I know God's Word is always true in every circumstance, every situation. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit gives me the absolute confidence to know it's true. And, you know, sometimes we can get in those conversations, and we might not have the words to say. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. Sometimes we just need to be quiet, right? And we can just pray silently in our hearts for that person. And the thing that we're praying for, not that they may be taken out of their situation, but that their soul would be saved and born again and birthed into the kingdom of God. Because at that point, God will take control of that. Because what does the Bible say? Jesus is what? The captain of our souls. Amen? He's the anchor of the soul. What has He done? He's blazed the path. And what did He do? He just said, follow me. Every one of us, Christ, our captain, our anchor of our soul, has already blazed the path for us, and all He says to us, follow me. And that's what we do. We follow Him. How do we follow Him? By God's Word. What has God said? I mean, do you really believe that every word in this book is true? Do you believe with all your heart that the Old Testament is infallible? That the New Testament is infallible? Do you believe that this is God-breathed to us? And do you believe God gives us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive? That's what the Bible says. So you know what? God said it. He never lies. I believe with all my heart. And so a situation comes up, we take Him to the Word of God. Why do we take Him to the Word of God? Why don't we give Him some human wisdom? Well, we found nothing but folly in human wisdom. All the human wisdom, philosophy of the day, all folly, because the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is true, and God never changes, and we are thankful for that. But when you look here, He says very clearly, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. Does He say, listen to me, I will never let you come into a time of trouble? Absolutely not. We know that's not true. Oh, He's going to bring us into a time of trouble. There's a purpose for it. Why? Because God wants you to be completely, wholly dependent upon Him in every area. Does God hear the prayers of the saints? Absolutely. He bows His ear down to hear. Why does He do that? Because He loves that saint with an unconditional love. Even when that saint sinned, he loves that saint. Why? Because when you were born again, God just didn't begin to love you. He loved you before the foundation of the world. And to God be the glory. God knew exactly what he was doing. And so we have that complete and total confidence in the Lord. And so you and I can say, I may not have all the answers for all my situations, but I do know the Lord loves me. And I do know that one day I'm forever going to be with him. And I know that he is my hope, my anchor. He is my all in all, the captain of my soul. I know that I have to wholly rest in him and him alone. Even though the devil will come up and say, why would God do this? Why would God do that? Who are you, Satan, to question my God? You know, the one that created you? Because Satan is a created being, you understand that. But the devil likes to plague us with doubt, likes to plague us with thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. But yet, God's Word has given us the strength to say, well, I take every thought captive the obedience of Christ, and I cast it down, and every high thing that what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Isn't that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. And when I look here, what do I see? For in the time of trouble, I want you to realize the wording here, for in the time of trouble. That means that we're all going to have these times of trouble. There's no, none of us are exempt here. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That is one that is fully rested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not resting in the arm of the flesh, resting in Christ. Say, God, whatever will be, to you be the glory. Whatever may come, to you be the glory. Father, you have given me this obstacle, this situation in my life. I don't understand it, but I trust you with all my heart because you love me like nobody's ever loved me in my life. Why? Because you love me unconditionally. You don't say, well, I love you as long as you do all the good things for me. And then when you do something bad, I don't love you anymore. Absolutely not. God has loved you because he has done a holy work in your heart. He has purchased you, bought you with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And I'll tell you what, eternity is going to be billions and billions of years because we're going to enter into eternity. And I don't know about you, but that should be very encouraging to the child of God and to think, my goodness, Jesus died for me. Amen? I mean, when Christ went to the cross, he went there to die for you and for me and for every believer that ever truly repented and believed because it was all a work from God himself in your heart. He is the one that has given you the new heart. And so when we find here, he says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. I mean, we look at the world around us and we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, the world and everything that's going on, what's going to happen? Listen to me, my rocker hinged on the rock that never turns. My confidence rests in the person of Jesus Christ. Whatever may come, I know that he has a purpose for it. I know he loves me with an unconditional love. I know he loved me so much that he died for me and he rose again for me and he shed that blood for me. To God be the glory. I mean, what a blessed thing it is to think that God has redeemed me and purchased me and bought me with such a holy, holy sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember the five sacrifices of Leviticus. Where did they point? To Christ. Why? Final sacrifice. Once and for all. To God be the glory. That's what your Bible says. And so he says here, look at the wording back to verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the time of trouble, the Lord will hide me in his pavilion. That means whatever may come, God has me in his hand. And God said he never let me out of his hand, and God can never lie. And I love him with all my heart. But you know, it's interesting. The Bible says that he first loved us. That's what your Bible says, you know. And the Bible says there again in Romans, he says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost that has been given unto us. Can you imagine that love? You enter into the presence of God, into heaven, and you come into a world of love. Not just our kind of love, but a holy, agape love. Totally different, far beyond our imagination. No matter how we like to describe it, there's just no way to describe it. Because we're still sinful creatures with a fallen heart, or a fallen will, and a fallen conscience. I mean, look what he says here. For the time of trouble shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He says, listen to me, I'm going to set you upon a rock with hinds feet. Listen to me, if I set you upon the rock, I'm going to keep you upon the rock. If I begin the good work, I'll finish the good work. I mean, you have to realize, you talk to people, if you get out there and you just talk to people about general things, it'll be so amazing to you find how easy it is to come into the things that really matter, like eternal things. Temporal always goes to the eternal, because the truth of it is, nobody wants to come to that eternal without Christ, amen? I mean, you want to die in Christ, amen? Because why? Because that's what the Bible says, who is Jesus Christ? He is the great amen. Amen. We see that in Revelation. We love that. At least I do anyways. But look what he says here. He says in verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I mean, all my enemies are coming against me, and yet my head is above my enemies. Why? Because my confidence is in the rock. Who is the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. The rock that never moves. My confidence doesn't rest in you or this person or that person. My confidence doesn't rest in my job or my performance or how much money I make. My confidence rests in Christ and Christ alone. Why? God could take everything I got in a heartbeat. Just like that, and to God be the glory. Right? I mean, isn't that what we'd like to say? Well, the truth of it is, we may say, oh Lord, please leave me a little bit. But the reality of it is, everything we have has come from the hand of God. Why? Because He's placed us upon the rock. And when our enemies come in, He raises our head above the enemies. Why does He do that? Because He loves us. He wants you to be wholly confident in Him. When you look at this psalm, this is what he's talking about over and over again. Your confidence has to rest in Christ. This is the confidence that you must have. We don't put our confidence in our situation. Why? Because God is above our situation. No matter what our troubles, we don't want to focus on our troubles. We want to raise our head above our troubles. Why? Because God is above our troubles. There's nothing God cannot do. God has a purpose for everything. And to the church, if we think for a minute that maybe they come down and persecute the church and they say, well, listen, we're going to have to shut you guys out. Well, the truth of it is, it's like this. God has called us, not man. And God is the final authority, not man. And we have to be obedient to the Word of God. Why? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we know that God is greater than all the terrible viruses of the world. Amen? We keep our head above those things. Because they may come, but to God be the glory. There's a purpose for it, and He wants us to have our confidence wrapped up in Him. And where does fear go at that point? Fear goes right out the window. Why? Because fear is a controller, and the only perfect fear is God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but that perfect love casts out all fear. Why? Because you have a complete love and holy confidence in Jesus Christ, plus nothing. And whatever may come, God will always raise your head above your troubles. That's what your Bible says. Now look what he says here. Again, he comes in here. He shall set me upon a rock. I want you to notice the word He, God, will set me, sinner, upon a rock. I want you to notice that. That rock's important. Because Jesus Christ is the rock that never turns. I mean, we understand that. And so when we look here, look what he says. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I mean, first he says, I will set you upon a rock. That's Christ. I mean, we understand that. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I mean, all the different situations that are coming into my life, God lifts my head up above them all and says, how can I look at this through the eyes of man? Terrible. I want to look through the eyes of God and say, God has a reason and a purpose for this. God, I wholly trust you with all my heart. I rest in you. I know your word is true. God, you never lie. You've told me the truth all the days of my life. If you've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be, all these years, God has never lied to me. Everything he has said here has been absolutely true. I have failed. I have failed miserably. I have confessed my sin every day, it seems, over and over again. Remember, repentance was never a one-time repentance. Repentance became a part of your life. Every day we have sins to repent and confess. But I want you to know you're forgiven in Christ. And that's that confidence that we're talking about. So now he says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Even though the enemies have come, God has lifted my head above all my circumstances and my situations. What's he saying? Look unto me. But what does the Bible say? You know, we say, oh, I don't like to sing. I don't like people to hear me sing. What's the Bible say? I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Who's, oh, I don't like to sing. Somebody will hear me and think that I don't know how to sing. Oh, welcome to the club. Because the truth of it is, it doesn't matter how we sing. It matters that our audience is God. And God is absolutely listening to us as we sing. And that's what the Bible says. And if you sit here and we don't sing, rest assured you're in sin. Why is that? Because God says, you're singing unto me. And when you come into a church, even a local assembly, and you're not singing unto the Lord with all your heart, listen to me, you're being judged for what? For the motive of your heart. Why do we do what we do? We do it to glorify God. Why do you sing hymns? What's the Bible say? Psalms and hymns. What are we doing that for? To glorify God. To shout praises unto Him and say, God, I just want to thank you for being who you are. I want to praise you. That's why you sing hymns that are doctrinally right. And it's found. Why? Because you're telling God what He's already told you. Amen? And you're just and bringing in that adoration and that worship. And I think when you look here, it says, and now my enemies, or my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. For God has placed me upon the rock. He has given me, and look around, and even though I see all the things that are going on in my life, all the terrible situations, yet I am above them. I'm in sitting in Christ upon the rock of my salvation. And God has given me hind speed to be strong in Him in the power of His might, because the Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We see that in the scripture. And He says here very clearly, therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I mean, the Christian should be the most joyous person in life. I mean, you should be able to come across a Christian and say, boy, no matter what the situation is, they just have a joy that can never be taken away. The only way we lose our joy is if we give it away. You understand that? Nobody can steal our joy. You know, we look around and we say, oh, I just want to be happy. Well, happy has to have circumstances to make you happy. But joy is inside your heart that God has put there in the depths of your heart, or even in the hardest situation of your life, you have a joy that no man can take away. That's the joy of the Lord. Amen. And so when you look here, what does He say? And I will sing. Yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I mean, you can't tell me that singing don't have something to do with praising God, because you know, when you get to heaven someday, there's going to be a song up there that we're all going to learn. And we don't know it yet, but boy, when we sing that song, we're going to be giving God glory and praising His name. And we're going to be singing with all our heart. And we're going to be part of the angelic choir. And what a day that will be. Because you're forever going to be in the presence of your Lord and Savior. Because you and I know that time is fleeting. As you get older, you know time is fleeting fast. And yet the Bible says our days are what? A vapor. But boy, if your feet are on the hind seat and you are sitting on the rock of Christ, you are above all your circumstances and all your situations, because your confidence does not rest in yourself. It rests in Jesus Christ alone. So look what the psalmist says here. Hear, O Lord. Now I want you to know here, look what he says. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Is there times that a child of God must weep the tears? Absolutely. I want you to know that when you weep your tears, that God puts your tears in a bottle. Never lets one of them drop to the ground. And one thing about crying, it's definitely a time of humility, is it not? But I'm talking about this kind of crying. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Look at the passion here. I mean, boy, you come through these verses here, these first six verses, and what do you find? You find a man of God with total confidence, even in the midst of his enemies and his foes, even in the midst of his circumstances and the situations he finds himself in. For his confidence is in the person of Jesus Christ, and God raises him above his troubles, where those troubles are absolutely meaningless. He rests in Christ, knowing one day He will forever be with him. And remember, when you enter into glory someday, no more sin, sickness, death, tragedy, it's all gone. It's a perfect, holy heaven of love. That's what your Bibles say. And what do we find here? Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Do you not believe that the Lord hears our cries? Have you ever been as me in the middle of the night, weeping in your heart? Maybe it's because of sin. Maybe it's because of situations that are beyond your control. And you say, Lord, I know You've told me to have confidence in You. Lord, You know that my confidence, I'm just feeling like I'm beaten down. I feel like, Lord, I just want to be delivered, or whatever it may be. I want You to set me free. Lord, I'm hurting in my heart. God, can You hear me? Do You care? You know, and we start doubting God and having all those thoughts, and the devil comes up. Yeah, I can't believe God let you go through such a terrible thing. And you love Him and you trust Him. Yes. But in your heart, you know, oh, Lord, please do whatever needs to be done. We've all been there. Look what he says here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Have you ever told God, will you just answer me and give me that confidence? Have you ever had that joy renewed in your heart where you have a sweet peace of Jesus in your heart, where you have such a blessed, sweet peace, and you know that Christ is going to set you free and deliver you? Where you are wholly resting at moments in your life where you have such the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and you know that you can trust Him because He has proved Himself trustworthy a million times in your life. and you can wholly rest. I mean, look what he says here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is that your heart's desire to seek the Lord in all things? I believe the psalmist was very clear that his heart's desire was to seek the Lord with all things. Because he said very clearly there, what's he say? When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I always like that word, seek. You know, the Bible says there's none that seek after God. That's what the Bible says, but for some reason people believe that somehow they have the ability to seek God without God. That's folly. It's not in the Bible. But I'll tell you what, when the Bible says there, as he says here in this verse, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is the confidence we have. You have the greatest opportunity in your life to point people to Christ. Don't miss it. Use it, whatever it may be. People are very fearful, but I want you to know, God has a purpose for it. And when I think about seeking the Lord, it's interesting. He says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, look what the psalmist says, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the most intimate part of the being of a man, is his heart. What does God, how does God judge the motives? He judges the motives of the heart. Why do I do what I do? He judges the motive of my heart. When I go and work my job, however many hours that may be, why am I doing this? Is it for the glory of God? You will be judged for your heart, the motives of your heart. When you're working or whatever you may be doing, sitting at home with your family, what is the motive of your heart? That's where the judgment lies. And when I look at the psalmist here, he says very clearly, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see the work of the Lord in his heart? Oh, yes. Man does not seek God like this apart from God. You understand that? The Holy Spirit is the one that brings that grace into our life, where all of a sudden He draws us into a holy attitude of prayer. He draws us into a holy attitude of reading the Scripture. He illuminates, He brings revelation from the Scripture into our heart to meet the depths of our soul. Or we can say, oh my goodness, I've been looking for this answer for about 10 years, and there it was. I read through that 1,000 times, and all of a sudden, the application of that verse pops into your heart, and you know what you do with it? You grab a hold of it, and you never let it go, and it burns in there, and all the days of your life, you never forget it. Have you had that experience? That's very true. I want you to understand that. It happens quite often, and when God does that, you never, never forget it, because God has screwed it into your mind and into your heart, and it is there, and you know, because the next trial may come, and you will remember that verse and the application of that verse. And boy, that is powerful, because you never forget it. Remember that verse there in Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, for I will strengthen thee, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That verse burned into my heart 31 years ago, and it has never left. Why? Because I found the truth and the application in my own life and the own personal life, and it just grabbed a hold of it, and I never let it go. Because that meant something, and the Holy Spirit revealed and illuminated and brought things to such a greater light than I had ever seen before. I never left it. That's what the Holy Spirit does, you know. And what do we find here? Look what he says. Again, when you think about these verses, he comes in here and he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Sometimes you run around upon Christians and they feel as if God has left them or God is nowhere around. Lies. Lies. God never leaves the righteous. He never forsakes the righteous. Oh, I want you to know, would this bring get your heart filled with anxiety and worry and fear? When all of a sudden you feel as if God has abandoned you? Lies. Remember, the power of the devil is in the lie. The power of God is in the truth. when the devil says, listen to me, God has left you, he's forsaken you, he's hid his face away from you, and you're mine, and I'm going to devour you, and I'm going to destroy you. You remind the devil of who you are, and the one that has purchased you, and bought you, and paid your price, and washed your sin away. You remind him, and when you do it verbally, because the devil can't read your mind, so you've got to talk to him, tell him like it is, but use the word of God. And that's important, because even Christ, when he was in the wilderness, if you remember, in the temptation, remember, he always used the word of God. And if Christ uses the word of God, the Logos of Scripture, by all means, let us use the word of God. Amen? And stand true to it. So look what he says here. He says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. I mean, I love that way it says, my help. You know, the Bible says there in the Psalms, my help cometh from the Lord. Sometimes we say, my help comes from my husband, or my wife, or my son, or daughter, Polly. My help comes from God. Amen? I mean, let's say it. That's the truth, right? My help doesn't come from the arm of the flesh. It comes from God. Now, God may use the means of a husband, a wife, or a child, but I tell you what, my help comes from the Lord, and the Lord chooses to send one of them, to God be the glory. But my help never comes from them. My help and my confidence rests in the person of Jesus Christ, not in myself, not in the arm of the flesh. I can't say, the only way I can be unfearful is if I have so-and-so next to me. Listen to me, we don't need to be codependent upon anyone. You must understand that. A codependency must be upon Christ and Christ alone, and that is very important for us. So you and I, when we read the Word of God, we say, my God would never leave me nor forsake me. My God has empowered me and enabled me. He has brought me through every obstacle and every trial in my life, and He's been faithful to me, even though I have been the most unfaithful one to Him. And yet He loves me with an everlasting love, because He saved me and done that holy work in my heart. And I know that God is true, and I know I can wholly rest in Him, and I know my confidence can never be in the arm of the flesh, never in my husband, never in my wife, never in my children. It must be in Christ, although God may use the means of a mother or father or child to come and comfort us and help us, but it must come and realize, God, thank you so much for sending that person to come alongside me and aid me. I know it was from your hand, as one of your sheep that seemed to go astray, and you brought me back to the fold, because I want you to know, if the sheep didn't have the shepherd tending them, we'd all go astray. And if you want to see the truth of that, read Psalm 119, because if after all that great scripture that you find there, you come into verse 176, and he says, but I am as a sheep prone to wander away. You would think after all those verses, it's like, man, I am totally confident. I'd never go astray. It's not what he says. But look what he says here again. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The one thing we know for sure is that when God has done a holy work, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Why does he say that? Because it's God. God began it, God finishes it. God the author and finisher of our faith, right? That's what the book of Hebrews says. And so look here, I mean, he says very clearly, and when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Praise God. I mean, that is a powerful verse. I remember years ago, working in juvenile corrections, I used to do services every week at YLTC. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but working with them boys for a number of years. And I remember this one. And he said, you know, that verse there just meant so much to me, preacher, when you said that. Because my father and my mother, they've all forsaken me. I said, yeah, but you know, the Bible says the Lord will never forsake you. And I believe that boy got saved that day, 17-year-old gangbanger out of Milwaukee. You know what? To God be the glory. God can use the most simplest verses in Scripture to totally transform a heart for the glory of God. My father and my mother, look at the word when my father and mother forsake me. Child of God, mom and dad ain't always going to be around. But the Lord will pick you up. Man, that is very comforting. Amen. I mean, some of us have lost a parent. Some of us, as myself, have lost both parents. But I'll tell you one thing. Our confidence in a Christ that ever liveth to make intercession for us, praise God. That's the power of God. Amen. That's where our confidence rests. That's why the psalmist is always speaking of fear, but he's always showing us the victory over fear. The anxiety, the worry, the cares of this life. My goodness, I want you to know, 60 years from now, most of us here will be dead. Some of you may be still kicking, but you'll be old like the rest of us, all broken and barely walking. But I'll tell you one thing, to God be the glory, when you come through that final avenue of death into the presence of glory, you will be more alive than you've ever been in your life. And you will be so thankful that you'll just want to sing praises to God for all eternity, and you won't want to ever shut it off. Because when you get to eternity, you don't sleep. There's no time to sleep in eternity. So if you're worrying about getting enough sleep, better get it now, because you ain't going to get it then. Amen? I mean, this is the glory of God. And this is being ushered. The binder right now holds us here. But when death may come, we are freer than we have ever been in the eternity. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, when we think about glory, when we think about eternity, and we think about Christ, and we realize that Jesus Christ is eternal life, as the Word of God says, and we think about the goodness and mercy of God, how we think, God, I just amazes me the love that you have put down upon me and died for me and paid my debt for me and took that cross and drank that cup and paid it all in full for such a wretch as I. Lord, I need to be out there telling people about your Son. And if you're one that has fear in your heart, my child of God, repent of your fear and say, God, my confidence is not in me, it has to be in you. And Lord, according to your Word, you've raised me above all my circumstances. You put my head above all my enemies and all my obstacles. And you have promised that you will carry me through, because you said that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And Father, thank you, Jesus, for saving my wretched soul. But child of God, talk to people, engage the conversation, love them, tell them truth, even if they hate you for it. Because I want you to know, we need to be those voices with all our hearts, glorify God and not be ashamed of His Christ.